Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to episode 29 of the Runner's World podcast, the weekly podcast bringing you all the latest news, views and interviews. I'm Rick Pearson, the Runner's World section editor, and I'm here with Ben Hobson, the digital editor. Ben, what have we got coming up on this week's episode?
This week we are discussing running and air pollution with journalist and runner Kate Carter. It's a subject we're covering in the next issue of Runner's World, and with air pollution at dangerous levels in multiple places around the UK, it seemed like a perfect time to discuss it.
Yeah, sounds good. Last week you were spotted running around the parks of central London. Are you still on the comeback trail? How's it going?
Yeah, I mean, if the comeback trail is very short and easy. Yeah, no, I am. I've done some more running and it feels good. It's nice. It's nice to be back doing some. Yeah, I mean, I was just riding my bike all the time, which I love doing, but it's nice to be unburdened by machines.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a very interesting experience at Brockwell Park Run on Saturday morning. Okay. So I was running with my wife, Georgie, and at the beginning of the second lap, I heard this voice behind me. And I couldn't quite work out what it was saying, but I realised that it was someone reciting the words from Johnny Cash's A Boy Named Sue in this very thick Scottish brogue. I thought, this is quite weird. It's quite loud as well.
And it wasn't just a mumble under the breath.
No, like it was like someone kind of like, right. Yeah, like as if they were practicing right. It. And it turned around and it was this guy who was just pushing his young son in a buggy.
Teaching him the classics.
Yeah. Just reciting.
Was the son into it?
No, I think maybe asleep.
Right.
The whole thing was deeply strange, I must say.
Right.
But anyway, so it's a broad church, isn't it?
Do you not ever? I'm guilty of talking to myself when I run
out loud.
It's like a maybe, just like a little. Now and again, it creeps out as like an audible thing, but most of the time it'll be like internalized whatever dialogue. But then sometimes I might just be like, oh yeah, and that might creep out.
I think that's fine. You're still a long way away from
it. True, yeah, it's
starting Boy Named Sue. But anyway, some fun stuff. Anyway, let's go and welcome our guest of the week.
Yes,
guest of the week here in the studio. Guest of the week, sometimes on the phone, could be an athlete, could be a physio, or a complete unknown.
Our guest of the week is journalist, presenter and runner Kate Carter. Kate has written a piece on running and air pollution entitled Running on Fumes in the next issue of Runner's World. So we thought we'd get her on the podcast to discuss a little bit more about this subject. So Kate, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
So why should runners be worried about air pollution?
Well, the answer to that is probably that everyone should be worried about air pollution, not just runners. It's a massive global health crisis, which I was thinking about on the way here. I was thinking, like, you know how we kind of think about Victorian factories and people kind of breathing in soot until they hacked up their lungs and all that kind of thing. I think in a couple of hundred years, we'll probably look back, or people will look back on this era and think, God, idiots, what were they doing to themselves?
Yeah, yeah.
In kind of the same way. And I think it's just because it's invisible. If you go somewhere where the pollution is from soot and so on, you can see it in your hands and your skin and so on. But the dangerous chemicals that are in city streets and stuff now are invisible. So, yeah.
So is it mainly cities then that are?
Yeah. I mean, certainly in the UK, London's probably the worst. Birmingham, Manchester, Bristol, all pretty bad. They're basically cities. If you're listening to this in a nice little green oasis somewhere. then please can we all come and live with you?
Is this an outdoor problem or is there such a thing as indoor air pollution?
There is indoor air pollution too. It tends to be slightly different pollutants. Right. So outdoors, it's kind of carbon monoxide and all those kind of oxide gases. Indoors, it's, those things obviously can come in from outdoors too, but there's also kind of household stuff contributing. There's like volatile organic compounds, VOCs, which are kind of more prevalent indoors. And, you know, stuff, residues and stuff from like, I don't know, cooking, heating, all the stuff that you do in your kitchen.
Yeah.
So it's different, but it's definitely a problem as well.
So the treadmill isn't just this sort of like silver bullet to this solution?
No. Well, it kind of depends because the other thing is that they are like you can filter out. I mean, the good thing about indoors is that it's contained space. So right. If you have a swanky gym with a really good air filtration system, then the chances are the air and that's going to be pretty good quality. So if you were to kind of compare that to a polluted city street, that's obviously better.
Mm.
But then if you're, you know, in a or your gym or whatever doesn't have that, then it's arguably six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Cracking a window open to get some air in and that air is...
Well, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Are we actually doing ourselves more harm? Because obviously everyone runs for the health benefits on the majority. So are we breathing in more, bigger lungfuls of air, greater duress on our systems? If we're doing that in a polluted area, are we sort of undoing all the good?
No, well, this is the good news.
Right. Okay, good. Right. So
there is a happy side. That basically all the studies seem to suggest that the good that you do by exercising outweighs the bad of not exercising, and that basically the worst thing for you is to be inactive.
Right.
And especially when you consider if you don't run, you're still getting all these air pollutants anyway.
True.
So by running, by keeping yourself fit and healthy, you're giving yourself a good chance of having the kind of healthiest immune system,
yeah,
anti-inflammatory responses, all that you can. And so all those benefits can outweigh the kind of dangers, and especially if you then try to sort of mitigate the risks.
Mm. Well, there's always that theory behind smokers and their lungs cleaning themselves.
Mm.
That was always like a kind of, maybe that was funded by the smoking company, like those cigarette manufacturers. No, they'll clean themselves. But I always thought that was maybe, shouldn't be too worried because the body has a great way of, you know, filtering.
Yeah, and there's definitely an awful lot that you can do about it. And like you say, your lung, your nose is really good at filtering. This is one of the things that they thought was bad for runners, was that because when you run, you tend to breathe through your mouth rather than more like mutually as you do when you're just walking around. And your nasal passages and the hairs and all that are actually like really sophisticated filters.
Yeah.
And they filter out some of that stuff naturally. So that's one of the kind of things that your body just does all the time. And if you're healthy, you can kind of fight off things in the same way that you do colds or so on. Yeah.
You ever tried nose breathing running?
No.
There's a sort of subculture of it, and it's like... there's even some people who do taped mouth running. Right. So I ended up doing a course where that happened. And also you can do it while you sleep as well. Some people tape their mouth while they sleep to encourage nose breathing. Anyway,
is it not just that their other halves do it to stop them snoring?
Possibly.
Sounds weird. Are men and women affected equally by air pollution?
No. Well, this is, some of the studies suggest that no, actually. As always in life, women have it worse. we kind of know that women do suffer more from the things that air pollution does to you, so like lung conditions and inflammatory responses and so on, and that's kind of known. What they don't seem to quite know is why, and there's all sorts of kind of theories. There's just not been a lot of studies, I guess.
Yeah.
There's sort of theories as to why that might be, and one of them is maybe that men are on average bigger, there's sort of more mass over which pollutants can kind of be absorbed.
Okay.
Another is that I think women metabolize quicker, which when it comes to pollutants is a bad thing because you're basically getting them into your system quicker.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of theories, but one of the really interesting studies that I came across was this huge study that was done on whether air pollution actually makes you slower. So we know it's obviously bad for your health generally, but does it actually make you run slower?
Mm.
So these researchers in the US, I think this was in the run-up to the Beijing Olympics when people were really worried about the air pollution kind of problem.
Right.
And they did these huge studies to look at kind of average marathon times in cities where there's a kind of measurable data, and they kind of eliminated factors like if it was a really windy day, they just didn't count that race.
Right.
And they looked at it overall, and it basically seemed like men are less affected by pollution on a marathon than women are. Like women's times were kind of on average like for every tiny increase in air pollution, they'd go down 2% or something like that. Yeah. Whereas men's didn't seem to.
Wow.
And they don't really, again, they don't really know why.
So is it faster is worse than slower, or is it more duration and pace?
I think generally for like your kind of average runner in the streets in a city, it's more duration that
exposure.
You should exposure right. to. Yeah. You kind of think if you're going really fast, you're obviously gulping in more air.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to have that much, it be that much worse for you that way. So it's definitely kind of like duration you should limit on days when perhaps pollution's really high, or if you have to run along busy streets or something.
Is there a better time of day to run with regards to air pollution?
Yeah, definitely. For earlier the better.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Basically, air pollution starts off at its lowest level kind of, sort of really early in the morning, and then builds through the day, and then kind of curves off again in the late evening.
Mm. Right.
So early or late, but I suspect that late has to be pretty late when you consider rush hour still going on most of the time until like 8 p.m. and then there's probably lingering effects of that. So if you can...
Get your run in early.
Yeah.
Do the streets clear of pollution at a certain point? I mean, do you know this? Is it overnight that this sort of suddenly all sort of dissipates and...
Well, yeah, I mean, levels go up and then they just kind of tail off again. And they are incredibly localised. Like, the thing that really amazed me about this when I was doing the research is how incredibly localised it is. So you obviously know, like... I don't know, the busy streets in London are going to be more polluted than, say, one block that way.
Yeah.
But it's literally like if you had the choice, if you have a really wide pavement to run down, literally running on the building side of the pavement rather than the roadside of the pavement is better. That there will be a difference, which is, like 2 metres or something, 3 metres. Astonishing.
I thought there was like a bleed effect, like it would just be like...
No, and
like
because it's gases, you just think of it as floating around sort of everywhere, don't you? But it really sort of sits in an area, which is why I think, people think, oh, God, look at those, they're sitting in their cars thinking, look at those, cyclists and runners exposing themselves to all their pollution. It's like, it's worse in your car because you're sitting in it, in the stationary pool of it.
Yeah.
We're all moving away.
Well, I didn't realise it was that localised. That's really amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's honestly made me, totally change my running habits. Even when I'm just running down the street, there's always a point if you're running somewhere, you have to go down a busier road. Mm. And that, I always used to sort of go to the outside just because then I can nip out the way of pedestrians or just sort of feel a bit less in the way. Mm. But now I'm like, if I can, I'll just sort of get as far away from the traffic as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And obviously, it's obvious that parks are better, and not just because there's no traffic, but also because the trees and so on actually actively filter.
Yeah, right.
So it's kind of active as well as passive. And now I kind of, sometimes I sort of would do a kind of quite busy route just for a change, just to do something different. And now I'm like happily just go around a small park about 10 times rather than do that. Really? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you bought in a couple of gadgets. So are there things that that everyone can get hold of which will help them find these?
Yeah. Yeah, so if you don't want to spend any money at all, then the best thing to do is to just Google air pollution maps, and you can get live air pollution maps of all big cities. So they'll just be a kind of cloud you'll see, whether it's sort of colour coded. It's pretty obvious when you look at it, and you can sort of zoom in a bit and see what your route usually is, and you sort of see that. So that you can look at that before you go out for your run, or afterwards if you want to depress yourself. and then there are apps which kind of do the same thing. And then there's also that's kind of relying on the data from certain fixed points.
Mm.
If you want to sort of find out more locally or your specific route, there are gadgets that you can buy that are basically kind of air quality monitors on the go. They can kind of just give you a live reading, and then you can look at it afterwards. And some of them are really, really smart. The Plume Labs one, which I brought in to show you, is it builds up a map and it learns your habits.
Right.
So whether you're a runner or just, you walk the same walk or you cycle a lot, it starts to build up a picture, and kind of you can start to really adjust your habits if you realise that you're kind of exposing yourself unnecessarily. Because, there's always a quieter road. They're pretty much always in London, particularly, in any city.
Yeah.
There's lots of streets. You can always find a slightly quieter one, even if it adds on a couple of hundred metres.
That's all miles.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Extra training.
Yeah.
One of the most surprising elements of the article that you wrote that's coming out in one as well is it starts in Chamonix, isn't it?
Yes.
And I thought, Chamonix, the cleanest air imaginable. And actually, this air pollution has a nasty habit of kind of filtering into these kind of idyllic places, right?
Yeah, and it's because a lot of it is to do with geography as well.
Mm.
So even with cities that sit in, some of the worst polluted cities in the world are, it's, you know, it's usually because of heavy industry and so on, and most of them are in China and India. But a lot of them, it might be just like, I mean, I always think of years and years and years ago when I was about 19, I went on a gap year and I went to Nepal, to Kathmandu. Mm. And I swear after about a day, I was like literally coughing up black stuff. Wow. And partly it's because they still had a lot of coal sort of usage there. And partly it's because Kathmandu sits, like Chamonix, sits in this very steep V valley. Yeah. And so pollution just can't escape because you've got hot air that sits above it and holds it down. And it just stays there. So you're kind of living in this soup, basically. Yeah. And that's the same thing in Chamonix. You've got this sort of industry up the valley, or down the valley, and it kind of filters in and then it just sits there. And most of it is partly factories and partly roads, cars, lorries going through that pass.
And I guess London is a slight basin, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of cities are, I suppose, because they're built around rivers it's just natural human settlement
isn't
it?
So we should all live essentially on top of a mountain.
Yeah.
Great. Altitude.
If you're looking for London high places, Ben, I could tell you.
We should all go and live up the Beckton Alps.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that presents its own challenges. Yeah. We're going to. This feels like a strange part of this, but are there nutritional choices that can help to protect the body from air pollution?
Yeah, I mean, like with protecting your body from any form of attack, if you like, then basically you just give it the best shot that you can.
Yeah.
So with something like air pollution, where your body is basically making an inflammatory response to it, then you just basically make sure that you have good anti-inflammatory stuff in your diet, so antioxidants and stuff like that. So it's all the stuff that you would imagine, green leafy vegetables. Yeah. And
a blueberry's in there, probably. They're always in there, aren't they?
I'm not sure they are,
goji berries.
Actually. Yeah, probably like flax.
Pomegranate.
It's always flax.
Flax as well,
least exciting thing in the world to eat, yeah. And orange things, weirdly, as it turns out.
Oh,
so
right.
Carrots, apricots, orange lollies.
Yeah.
Love a calippo.
That's interesting. So like carrots, apricots, right, okay.
Yeah.
Calippo. Do love a calippo.
Yeah, I'm glad.
More important to you, but less serious to the greater nation. Yeah. How's your running going?
Yes, all right. Yeah. I had a bit of a lull after I did Boston Marathon and London this year. And I just sort of... didn't feel great for a couple of months afterwards, and I'm starting to feel better. And
that's good.
Yeah, it's feeling good. Okay. I've done a most unusual thing for me, which is I haven't entered a marathon.
Good. Well, that's good.
I know. It's quite weird. I've just done loads of 10Ks and a couple of halves. And
I don't know because I don't do lots of marathons, but everyone else who I know who does do lots of them, a good and nice enforced break is very important.
Yeah. I think I guess it depends on, lots of people could do marathons and then get back on the horse and be fine and racing, I don't know, 10Ks again a month later. Mm. It takes me a long time to, I can run, you know, a day later, but I can't run fast for a long time.
Yeah.
And I just don't, you get to the point where you think, what's the point of sort of building up and building up and building up? And then it might go well or it might not. But then I'll definitely be feeling a bit crappy for 2 months. Why not just not do that?
Yeah. You've done a lot of racing, haven't you, over the last few years? So I think you're due a kind of, you know,
a new
bit of time off. Yeah.
And the great thing about like 10Ks, 5Ks, whatever, is that you can, if it goes wrong, go and enter another one.
Exactly.
Next weekend. Yeah. It's fine.
Exactly. So you're not going to 100 miles?
No, never. I consider that to be a long way in a car.
Yeah, you're right. It's a long drive, isn't it?
There we go.
Kate, thanks so much for coming on the Run of Four podcast again.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, great to talk more about air pollution. And like I say, great article out in the next issue of Runner's World, available in all good WH Smiths.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we've had a nice response to last week's book club, Ben.
Yeah.
Some nice emails. So one from James Cavan.
Yes.
He says, really enjoyed this week's podcast about running books. I found it useful for picking up recommendations out of the ones that were discussed. I wanted to cast my vote for 2 hours. Great read. And as all good running books should do, it just makes you want to grab your trainers and head out. So thanks, James, for writing.
Yeah, we had a couple more as well. And the not necessarily concerned about books that we're talking about, but just saying we should do more of them.
Yeah.
So people want to know. So maybe we're going to have to do more homework.
Would you, instead of picking the Hanson's Half Marathon, would you graduate to the full marathon next time?
Maybe.
I hope so.
I really enjoy their work. Yeah. No, I think we should do more book discussions.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Anyway, should we move on then to the weekly running news?
Yes. Joining us in the studio, Jay Maguire.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm back.
Good.
Yeah.
Always there with the news.
Third week in a row, I think.
I know. The glue that holds this podcast together, some might say.
Yeah.
What has been catching your eye this week?
Big news, I think. Well, discussion points. What three words have you heard about this app?
Oh, yes, I have.
So the police are now urging everyone to download it after they used it to find three walkers who were lost in the woods. And I had to look into it because I was like, what does this mean?
Is this?
I'd never heard of it. I don't know if loads of our listeners will already have it. But it's basically like the world, 57 trillion squares, 3 meter by 3 meter,
right,
like map where you are.
Yeah.
So if we did it now, we would get three words pinning us here.
Yeah.
And the police can use that to find us if we were in trouble and we didn't know where we were. Obviously, we would know where we are. But
got it.
So if you're out running and you're lost and it works without phone signal, so you could find out where you were and then send someone down the mountain or whatever to get help.
Yeah.
But yeah, really interesting.
It's really cool. You can see like it becoming compulsory or an app like that,
maybe the trail event. Yeah, the big sort of find your way events.
Yeah, and right, these words are quite weird, I think. So it would be something like mango, mackerel, water. And they'd be like, I know exactly where you are, you're just south of Bolton.
Classic.
But apparently, I think this is right, that in Mongolia, they now do the postal system based off this app.
Oh, really?
And Lonely Planet are using it in their books.
What was it like? Oh, if you really want to see this temple,
visit
river, octagon, swordfish.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, big news for runners.
Super
especially
cool.
For runners not like me. I stick to the pavement, so I kind of always, you know, you'd hope, know where I am. But for the runners who are more exotic.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Really helpful.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's really good.
Another one, which I want both of your opinions on, the British triathletes who have been disqualified for Jess Leemonth, Georgia Taylor Brown were disqualified for holding hands as they crossed the finish line.
Rule 2.1.F or
it's
something.
2.11.F.
There we go.
Which says
incredible knowledge.
Athletes who finish in a contrived tie situation where no effort to separate their finish times has been made will be disqualified.
It's one of those really tricky ones, isn't it, where you're like, you can understand, like, if it's a rule, and presumably as professional triathletes, you know what the rule is.
Yeah.
Then part of me is like, well, that's just the rule. But it seems a little bit like, oh, remember the first ever London Marathon? It was
Bannum.
Yeah,
disqualified.
Like, two guys who, you know, crossed the finish line hand in hand. It's become an iconic image. And but now that's not all right. Yeah.
I think that there was the argument made on Twitter about the Brownie brothers, obviously.
Yeah.
Alistair helping Johnny.
Yeah.
And but if you watch that again, you know, I think that Alistair actually pushes Johnny.
Yeah, I think it's because he makes it really, if he'd tried to carry him across the line, they'd have been disqualified because he pushed him. He was like, you finish first.
Yeah.
So if they'd held hands and one had been like a metre in front of the other, they'd been fine. So it's literally just because they didn't make an effort to win.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's the thing of cries of, you know, the sportsmanship and the competitiveness.
Yeah.
I think that in all sport, it's kind of the overarching thing that people want to see. I think that if they just crossed the line a second ahead of each other, it would have just been another race.
Mm.
But I think the two of them finishing together, regardless of any controversy about them holding, but if they finished together and just gone like, cool, we finished together because we wanted to, people remember that as a nice thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
Rick really wants the
no. Rick's like, rules. Get him out.
you can kind of understand.
Of course,
but it's a race, right? So it's a bit like, you know, you're meant to try to win.
Yeah,
I'm just making the sort of anti-sportsmanship angle. And you know, if you like, oh no, all three of us will finish together, or four of us, like at that point, it's not a competitive race.
More like five people in the line.
And if Kipchoge had waited for Mo to cross the line, holding hands, you know,
yeah, it would have been a great news story.
It was the World Triathlon Olympic qualification event, so it could cost them
a place
in.
But
is the Olympics.
But that's down to their nation. They were GB runners, right? Yeah. So that's down to. So the ITU made the call on disqualification, but it'll be down to the selection team for the GB to whether or not they pick them, I assume.
You are displaying excellent triathlon knowledge in this podcast.
Well, no, that's just, I mean, that was just a guess.
I commend you.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, you're just making it up.
Right. Well, that was a guess. But yeah, I mean, I don't think the ITU can decide who gets to race for each nation. Would they? No.
Podcast at runnersworld.co.uk. Let us know. Right.
And last but not least, Nike have changed their policy for pregnant athletes and new mums, following several professional runners kind of criticising them for, you know, they've now announced that they will eliminate performance requirements for up to 18 months for athletes who have decided to have a baby.
So is that 18 months maternity leave? Or is that 18 months from, like, announcement of potential baby?
Sure.
I'm just wondering if like Nike have now got the best maternity care package on the court. Like,
well, imagine it'd be
from nothing to something really good.
If it was 18, you'd have 9 months of pregnancy and then 9 months after.
Yeah,
that would
still quite normal. Okay,
quite.
I mean, that's good.
But if you're an athlete, you need 9 months to
let
your body get back.
Yeah,
that's great.
But it's
actually
a good step, I think.
How's your own running going, Jane? Just out of interest.
Okay. I've had a slight nerve issue coming from my back, I think. And I thought it was something else, so I was resting and icing, and that's not what you do for nerves. So kind of did that just for fun in the end. Took 9 days off, which is just what you want in the middle of a marathon training plan. But I'm back and running again, and we'll see. Trying to be positive.
It's Berlin, isn't it?
Berlin. 5 weeks, 6 weeks to go. But, you know, we'll see. I probably won't do a long run, but who knows? I think it'll be.
Can you run pain-free, or is it?
It's calmed down a lot, but actually running more has helped it.
Okay.
Because you're kind of getting blood to it and, you know, using it and stretching it.
And
I don't know. But I've learned a lot about nerves, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
And really, like, really interesting. People kept saying to me it's sticky, and I was like, how can a nerve be sticky? But apparently it can. You have to like flush it.
There we go. Through movement.
Yeah.
Right.
So nerves, you're not meant to not do anything.
Right.
Which I did.
Because you thought it was muscular.
Because I thought it was a muscle thing. Yeah. But
easily
I think
done.
It was a lesson to listen to your guts. Because I was like, I know it's not a tear.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't a tear, and I knew it wasn't a tear from the day after. But I kind of was like then reaching out to all these different people for advice. And actually it was like, I know what I'm doing feels wrong here. So go with it.
Yeah. Well, best of luck, Jane. I hope the training continues to go well. And thanks very much for coming on and giving us the weekly running news.
Anytime.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. I'd like to say a huge thanks to our guests, Kate Carter and Jane McGuire, and to Number 8 Studios in Soho, where this was recorded.
For more news, reviews, interviews and much, much more from the wider world of running, please head over to runnersworld.com/UK. Please like and subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a little comment if you fancy it. And thanks to Acast, our hosting partner. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.